Cool, excellent. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. How's everybody feeling today? I know it's a little bit early. Good, good. Awesome. Okay, cool. So my name's Michael, and this talk is about Jenkins and Azure. Not my most creative title, but I promise the content will be much more interesting than the title. So with that, let's just kick off. So first things first, this is not a DevOps talk. So in my opinion, DevOps is the combination of people, process, and tools. And today we're just going to be focusing on the tools, that being Azure and Jenkins. But in a slight contradiction to that sentence, we're going to be looking at some well-defined DevOps practices and how you can use those to create yourself a great delivery pipeline. We're also going to be looking at what a delivery pipeline is, why it exists, what it does, and how you and your team can use it to create great value for your business. Then also, depending on the definition of cool, we're going to be doing some cool demos, starting quite basic and simple and moving towards some more complex scenarios. Excellent. So, here's the agenda. I'm a pretty visual guy, so I like visual agendas. As you can see, I'll be talking for a bit, and then we'll be doing a fair few demos. I designed this talk to be quite demo-heavy because one of the reasons the best way I try and learn is by building stuff in Azure, learning a ton of stuff on the way. Also, a big fan of the notion of fail fast and fail often. Who's heard of that? Yep, cool. I have a bit of a problem with that statement, and the problem is that that's all well and good, but you have to be learning something. So if you're failing fast, failing often, and not learning, there's not much point in my opinion. So when we start looking at Jenkins, I think you'll be able to see pretty quickly how often and how quickly I fail, and we'll see if you guys can point that out. Cool. So about me, I'm currently working at Microsoft as a cloud solutions architect. Been working in IT for over 10 years. I've had various roles as a system administrator, system engineer, technical architect, and now cloud architecture. Been working for some small companies, medium-sized companies, some big companies, and working across multiple industries like finance, retail, and media. Cool. Been working with Jenkins for about a year now. It's currently my favorite way to deploy open source stuff in Azure. It's got different ways you can do it, but Jenkins is my favorite for now. And as you can see, there's a link to my GitHub. Please have a look. All the code for the demos and my app will be up there, except for one demo where I was in a rush and hard-coded some keys into my script. So I'll fix that up and upload it, because you should never, ever, ever do that. Cool. All right, so what are we going to get out of this presentation? So I've got this notion about faster, better, cheaper with software delivery, and we'll talk about how Jenkins and Azure can enable you to do that. Then we're going to talk about some good practices that make up a fantastic delivery pipeline. We'll go through that and how they can help you deliver some really great software. And then we're going to see some of what Jenkins can do on Azure. So hopefully you guys can see some, depending on your opinion, some cool demos, and you can go back where you're home, where you're from, and say, cool, just saw some cool stuff. Let's go build some even cooler stuff on Jenkins. I'd love you guys to keep me up and say, you did a demo on this, I extended it, and did something twice as cool. That'd be awesome. Excellent. So with that, let's just go into delivery pipelines. So delivery pipelines. Just before we dive into that, just want to talk about this faster, better, cheaper thing I've mentioned before. So what that's all about is, in my opinion, there are three things that won't go out of fashion in business, and that's businesses deliver products and software faster, better, and cheaper. So what I mean by that is companies delivering software faster, so reducing their development cycle and increasing their speed to market. And we look at some of those DevOps practices I'm talking about. You can use things like continuous integration, automated testing, and continuous delivery to really enable that. So instead of you guys writing code, dropping it into production every 2 years, 1 year, or even maybe 6 months, you can really reduce that to, say, 6 months, 1 month, or a week if you're adventurous, which is really cool. If you're that adventurous, that's really cool. Better. So when I talk about better, I'm talking about delivering higher quality software. So that's software with less bugs. Again, with some of those DevOps practices, you can detect bugs earlier, test frequently and more intensely, so that hopefully the end result is less bugs in your code and less rework for your teams. And then finally, cheaper. When I say cheaper, I mean resource utilization for your developers. So if your developers are able to deliver software better and cheaper and faster by using the same amount of resources that you currently have, then you'll be able to deliver more projects and more features and functions for your users or customers. Now, how are you and your teams going to deliver value with that? So if you go back to your places of work, go to your management team and say, hey, if we tweak, adapt, define, redefine the way we're delivering software, not only can we deliver software faster for our customers and our users, with better quality, and we've got this, the same amount of resources that we currently have. I think they'll be very interested in that, and it's something that you guys can do to just deliver some great value for your business. Now, just before I talk about stages, I want to talk about what is a delivery pipeline. So I'm a simple guy. I like simple definitions. So basically, a delivery pipeline for me is the process of how you deliver software to your customers. That's it, nice and simple. That can be very stagnant and stable and unautomated, or it can be highly efficient and automated. And we'll go through some of that stuff in Azure and Jenkins and how you can do that. Also, I'm a big believer in any complex scenario or problem can be overcome if you chunk up those tasks into manageable chunks. So basically, in delivery pipelines, we'll talk about stages. So any complex delivery pipeline can be accomplished if you chunk that up into different stages. So if we look at delivery pipelines, they're very different around people different. So company A and company B can have very different pipelines depending on your environment. So you might have different policies, procedures, technical debt, which is going to make your deal pipeline very different to company B's pipeline. But if you step back from that and I have a look at a really high level, there's basically three stages that every pipeline is going to have, and that's build, test, and deploy. I'm going to go through that as we go through this demo. Awesome. Okay, so DevOps practices. We've got a really great video series on Channel 9 MSDN. The link's at the top there around some well-defined DevOps practices that the guys in Seattle have gone through, which I think is really valuable. Recommend you guys read that and watch that. So I've listed the seven practices which I think will make you a very good delivery pipeline. I was just going to touch on those really quickly. One thing you won't see there, but I've mentioned in almost every section, is source control. Every piece of code you write should be in source control, full stop. That's it. The reason for that is when you put stuff in source control, you get a full history of your code, so you know exactly when and why code was changed, and you can easily look at the differences between that. So with those practices, infrastructure as code. Who's currently doing infrastructure as code? Woo! Awesome. That's really cool. I love this. This is one of my favorite pieces. So in Azure, the way you do that is with Azure Resource Manager templates. We had a session just a couple of doors down and a 101 for that. So that's really cool. Great thing is you can define all of your infrastructure. And in my world, I work with PaaS quite a bit. Your PaaS configurations can be stored in JSON. And I'll go through that with some of my demos. Again, it'll be stored in source control. For me, all my demos use GitHub, but you can use any source control repository you like. And the good thing about Azure Resource Manager is idempotent. So in some of my demos, we'll be redeploying our templates. And by default, with Azure Resource Manager templates, it goes in incremental mode. That means it's not going to tear down and rebuild your architecture. It's only going to change the bits and pieces that have been added and deleted. So we'll go through that as well. So continuous integration. Really what that's all about is as soon as a developer checks in code, it gets automatically built and tested. And the advantage of that is really speed. So if you're checking in code frequently and it automatically gets built and tested, you can pick up bugs early and know when it fails straight away. And that's something that we'll have a look at as well. Again, always thought in source control. And it's all about early bug detection, less rework for your developers, and speed. Automated testing. Who's doing automated testing at the moment? Awesome. Really cool. You should always do automated testing. If you pour a lot of time into testing and automated testing, it's going to really pay off in the end. It's going to really be able to speed up your pipeline and deliver software faster. And then we can look at unit testing, integration testing, and I've done some end-to-end testing, but not much performance testing, because I ran out of time, but we'll look at that. And then configuration management. So depending on your viewpoint, some people look at configuration management as infrastructure and code, as configuration as code. I'll just split it out here because I'm working in a PaaS environment. So I've kind of merged my infrastructure and code and my configuration as code into one template, and we can have a look at that. That's really about having consistency around your infrastructure. So once you go through a deployment engine and spin up your infrastructure, you want to make sure that all your nodes or virtual machines, if you're working with virtual machines, have the consistency that you're looking for. And again, all that code should be stored in source control repository. Cool, awesome. All right, so three more. One of these is continuous deployment. Probably everyone's fairly familiar with this, but that's really the deployment part of those three steps with the check-in, build, test, and deploy. And it's really about automation here. So infrastructure as code and configuration code are really your friends here. And we'll go through some of that as well. Release management. Who has a stringent release management process? Or who's just chucking stuff into production? Cool. Awesome. Who's chucking stuff in production? Yeah. Awesome. That's what I like. So release management is all about two things on this. So you're not providing your customers or users any value if your code sits in staging. If it's not in production, your users and customers aren't getting any value out of it. So I would like to see more people just pushing stuff to production. But again, you can't just chuck stuff in production and have stuff break all the time. So you do need approval gates. As long as they're efficient and automated, that can be a good thing. And you can move through different environments from staging, dev, and prod. And the last piece of the puzzle for me is, and through this blog series you can look at, is application performance monitoring. So we'll go through some of that as well. I'm using Application Insights instead of Azure. So once you've deployed your code and it's up and running in production, you can really have a look at that and see what's working and what's not working and try and pick up issues or bugs before your customers. So we can have a look at that as well through the demos. Awesome. Jenkins. Who's using Jenkins? Awesome. Who's using Azure right now? Who's using Jenkins and Azure? Two. Nice. Awesome. Hopefully, let's change that. Cool. So, Jenkins. Jenkins is an open source automation and server engine. And I think Jenkins' website has a great summation of what it is. So I just wanted to read that out, make sure I get it correct. So it's an open source automation server, which enables developers around the world to reliably build, test, and deploy their software. Now, I've just added the engine part to my description because once you start working with Jenkins and do distributed builds, you can really see it's more of a platform and an engine rather than just a pure server. So if you're doing distributed builds with a master and slave kind of architecture, you can really see the benefits around that. Also, it's been around for a long time. So once again, Jenkins originally founded in 2006 as Hudson, and is one of the leading automation servers available. Using an extensible plugin-based architecture, developers have created hundreds of plugins to adapt Jenkins to a multitude of build, test, deploy, automation workloads. In 2015, Jenkins surpassed 100,000 known installations, making it the most widely deployed automation server. So my summation, been around for a long time, pretty cool. And again, the whole premise of this talk is works well as a delivery pipeline tool. We'll go through that as well. There's some really cool plugins. I'm, again, a visual guy. So we visualize your pipelines and your stages. But any IT pros in the crowd? Awesome. So this has got a bit of a delivery software delivery spin on this, but you can also use Jenkins as an automation tool. So if you're storing stuff in source control repository, you can have that trigger Jenkins and do all types of automation tasks in your environment. So it's not just for developers. It can be used for IT pros as well. Awesome. So you guys are mostly familiar with Jenkins. I've got kind of a bit of a screen grab on the right-hand side here. A lot of stormy clouds. This screenshot was taken when my builds weren't working real well, but that's all changed. It's almost sunny, which is cool. So on the left-hand side, you've kind of got the stuff you can do with Jenkins. New build items, which is sometimes called jobs. And jobs are really just a series of build steps to automate a task. Very simple. Workspaces, not going to dive too much into workspaces, but again, when you're using distributed builds, workspaces become quite important. Again, if you're using master-slave architectures, you can provide different environments for your builds, and you have your master nodes, which hold your configuration, and your slave or worker nodes, which really do all your processing for you. So if you've got 50, 70, 100 projects running thousands of builds a day, you can really scale out horizontally really, really well. Plugins, again, over 1,000 plugins, we'll go through that as well, and it's got a really great community backing it. So I've had a fair few problems doing Jenkins over the past, but there's some really good forums and stuff to help you out there as well, which is really cool. Awesome. So, Jenkins has some Azure-related plugins. I'm using the first one and the third one, not so much the second one. But in all of my demos, I'm logging into Jenkins using Azure Active Directory. I'm using a custom domain I have, so we'll go through that. You can chuck your build artifacts into Azure Storage if you want to, specifically Blob Storage. And then we have an Office 365 connector, which can send notifications to Microsoft Teams, which is our new chat-based collaboration tool. And we'll go through all that via demos as well. Awesome. Demo. I love demos. As you can see, I was trying to hurry through that so we could do some demos. Cool. So you maybe see I have an architecture background for that diagram. But basically what I'm going to be doing is I've written some code. It's in my GitHub. I'm going to manually kick off a build via Jenkins. It's a Node.js web application. So I'm going to be using Grunt to automate some tasks. I'm going to do some unit testing and some security checks. That's going to build a web app inside of Azure. Cool. So let's go and do that. Here we go. So we'll just close this down so we can look at the sign in. Cool, so this is my Jenkins node. So for those with keen eyes, I've got two Jenkins installations. One's running on Windows, one's running on a Docker container on a Ubuntu server. So if you can tell me which one's which, just shout out. So this is Azure Active Directory, so when I go to Jenkins, it redirects me to Azure Active Directory so I can sign into the application. This is something I've set up ahead of time. Again, not very creative with titles. It's called Jenkins Yes. I had a few builds that weren't working, so this is a good one. And I'm logging in with a custom domain I have, so just user one. I've got rollback access control policy set up in Jenkins, so this user is an administrator. So we'll just log in. Cool. I've still got some stormy clouds, but they do work. That's okay. So we're going to look at demo one first. So let me just make sure I've got the right commands all going. Awesome. Cool. So this is Jenkins. For those who haven't seen Jenkins before, I've got all my builds on the right-hand side. So we're just going to look at build one for a moment, or demo one. So what I might do is I'm going to kick this off, and then we'll talk through what it does. So I'm just going to kick that off. Cool, and as you can see down here, it's deploying right now. We'll come back in just a couple of seconds and see what it's built. But what I've configured... So inside of Jenkins, I've done the Opus 365 plugin. And what that does is, now I've kicked off a build inside of Jenkins in Microsoft Teams. I'm going to get a notification shortly. So it says I've kicked off demo one. So if you're doing automated triggered builds from GitHub, if you're just a developer and you've got a chat window up and running, you can just check in some source control, some code into the source control repository, and you get a notification straight away that the build started. So you don't have to leave that screen, you don't have to leave your console and have a look. It just pops up right there, which is pretty cool. And then next, so this is the old way of deploying pipelines inside of Jenkins. It's just through manual steps, manual build steps. So I'm pulling stuff from source control repository. That's the one there, if you want to check it out a bit later. I'm pulling the master branch. We'll talk about branching a bit later. Build trigger is we're pulling GitHub. And also, I'm providing a Node.js environment for my code. Lots of code in JavaScript and Node.js, and it's just version 6.6. And in the way you're passing credentials, so the way I build stuff inside of Azure, which I've looked down at the bottom, is sort of by creating a service principal. So that's a separate user I set up, which has high-privileged access, and I pass in those variables at runtime. So I'm not storing usernames and passwords inside of my code. So basically, I'm doing a script here. Just when I download my code from GitHub, it creates standard workspace inside of Jenkins, and I'm just running a node build. So I'm splitting out my production packages from my dev packages, and that last piece here is running some grunt automation tasks. So I'm doing some unit testing and some security checking. So it's going to check my code for known vulnerabilities. And that's completely automated. We can have a look at that if you like. But the real magic here is how I'm deploying my stuff to Azure. So I'm doing it through the Azure Cross-Platform CLI, which is a node-based CLI that Microsoft's created. And I'm deploying it within the Azure Resource Manager template, which is just that one there, which you can go through and have a look. Web GitHub deploy. So I've got a whole bunch of ARM templates that I work on in GitHub, which you guys can free and go and have a look. And GitHub deploy this one. So I'm not going to go through exactly what an ARM template here is. I just want to show you a quick bits and pieces. So it's all stored JSON. So I've defined my complete architecture inside of JSON. And what I'm building here is I'm building an app service plan and a web app. And once that's done, so that's my app service plan here, my web app, and then it's pulling from source control. And I pass in variables to say what kind of URL you can get from GitHub and what branch, which is down here. Cool, and then it's creating, it's logging in with my service principal, configuring it for ARM mode, and then building a resource group, and then deploying the web app. So if we go back to my chat application, we'll see if it's finished building. Cool, build successful. Excellent. So it's automatically notifying me when my build starts and when it's finished and it's successful, which I think is pretty cool. So let's go into Azure and have a look at what it's built. Cool. So this is my Azure console. I'm going to go to resource groups. So it's created Ignite Demo 1, build 14. You'll see I've got a lot of build versions for other demos. So basically, it's built a resource group. Inside the resource group, again, it's built an app service plan and a web app. So we'll click on that web app. And you can see here that it's automatically pulled my project from GitHub. That's the project there. And this is the URL where it's at. So that's all available externally on the web. And it's just a sample Node.js app that I've created. It's with a table, and they're all environment variables right there. So as you can see, that's the app service plan tier I'm using, which is standard, and the source control management is from GitHub. And that region changes between which regions you deploy to. So that's how basically easy it is. It's all automated. I can just, preferably, what I'll do is, which I'll show you demos later, is where it automatically triggers from a source control check-in, and it's just going to go and build your stuff straight away. Cool, awesome. All right, so, like I said before, I'm a visual guy. So I like seeing my pipeline in a visual format. So that first demo I showed, it's really, you're just creating build steps and running scripts. This way, Jenkins has created a whole bunch of plugins that supports pipelines in a more visual format. And kind of you get some nice stages around build, test, deploy. And I've added source, because everything should be in source control repository. And you do really nice visuals, and we'll go and have a look at that in a sec. But what I think is really cool is you've got your average step times here. So it tells me how long it takes to build, test, and deploy. through the stages of my architecture. So with that, we're at another demo. So this is demo number two. You'll start seeing a few common usage patterns that I have around GitHub, Jenkins, Grunt, Visual Studio Code, and Microsoft Teams. But basically what I'm going to do here is I have a blog, which I run, and we're going to, on the fly, upload a new post. And the reason for this demo is once you have a well-oiled and defined pipeline, you should have confidence to deploy to production very often, very fast. So, proof's in the pudding, so let's go and do that. So what I do for all my blog posts, I use Visual Studio Code. Anybody using that? Awesome. Anybody using that on a Linux or a Mac machine? You can also install it on Linux and Mac as well. Cool. So this is my blog post. I'm not going to go through what it is, what it does, but I've written a new post in Visual Studio Code. What I've done is Visual Studio Code is really cool because it can integrate the source control repositories out of the box. So then I've got my Git enabled. So I've staged a whole bunch of changes, and we're just going to commit that right now. So I've staged some changes, just going to commit some changes. And then I'm going to push that to GitHub. It helps if you click the right bit. Cool. While that's pushing, it should only take a few seconds. We'll go up to GitHub. And we'll go to my blog. So my whole contents of the source of my blog is up here. And you can see last commit 29 seconds ago, new Ignite post. So I've done a new post. So preferably, again, you'd automatically trigger this via Jenkins. But I'm going to do this a different way. I'm just going to do a manual build. So I'm going to log into my second Jenkins installation. Now, this might give away what operating system it's running on. Cool. So because I already logged in the first tab, it's not going to ask me to log in again. And you can see I've got this new build here, and it's sunny. It's actually working. So let's go and kick that off, and then I'll explain what it's doing a bit more. So let's just go build now. So what's this going to do? It's going to do a staged deployment. So I'm going to deploy to my staging environment first. This pipeline's going to pause, ask me to look at that change, and approve it before it goes in production. I'm having a bad time clicking, aren't I? Did I go? Awesome. So we just want to do a quick configuration. So this has got a different type of configuration inside of Jenkins. I'm doing configuration as code. So basically, that's all of my code. Again, I've got notifications via our chat application. So if you go back into here, demo two. Cool, build started again. Again, it's automatically notifying me when I'm starting builds. And then I'm just going through. And then when you start using Jenkins quite a bit in pipelines, you can define your pipeline as code, which I'll go through in a bit more detail in a moment. But basically, I'm going to do a build, test, and deploy, but do a staged deployment. And we'll have a look at that in a moment. Cool, excellent. So push up source control, it's done a build, and now it's paused at testing. So if we have a look at this, it's saying approved deployment. So we just jump into the console. So my pipeline is paused, and it's asking me to approve before it goes into production. So I've got in here, so this is my staging environment. And so if I just open that up in a new window, that's my staging environment. So that's my blog, that's its staging environment, that's a new post I've just done. I'm just going to click around a bit, make sure it works. You know, it's all looking good. But if you go to my live site, you're not going to see that post yet. So this is my live site. This is my production environment. It has not pushed any changes to that yet. So my pipeline's pausing and waiting for me to approve the deployment. So back in my staging, yeah, it looks pretty good. Have a look. Looks pretty good. So now what I'm going to do is, I know that's a good build. I'm just going to go through here. Back to my pipeline. And I'm going to say, proceed. So this is kind of like doing pushing through release management through different environments, but not really. We can talk about it in more detail, but there's normally tools you can use to do release management a lot better and move stuff between dev, staging, and prod. So that's all done. So we go back to my prod blog. I'm going to do a refresh. You'll see it's up and running. So again, the whole point of this demo was is that once you have confidence in your build process, you should be able to deploy very often and very frequently with confidence that it's going to work. Cool. So let's go back to the presentation. Oh, sweet. Another demo. Awesome. All right. Demo number three. So as we start going through these demos, they're going to start getting a little bit more complex. So again, similar usage pattern. I'm going to trigger an automated build from source control. It's going to push something into GitHub. Jenkins is automatically going to pull that and start building into Azure. So as a developer, all I have to do is check something in the code, and it's going to do continuous integration, automated testing, and deployment using infrastructure as code. And then we're going to use, inside of Azure Web Apps, again, I've written that sample node application. We're doing what's called a stage deployment. So in my ARM template that I'm employing, I'm having a separate staging slot. So it's called a stage deployment. And we'll go through and have a look at what that is, what that does. So if I go into Visual Studio Code, I'll just open up a new folder. Cool, awesome. So this is my web app, as you can see. I'm not going to go through all the code, but still some pretty standard stuff with Node.js. It's the same web app we saw before. That's the source code for it. As before, this is my Jenkins code. As you can see, I'm doing some basic unit testing, but I'm also doing some security checking as well for known vulnerabilities. That's basically what that does. And it's all automated. So if we just go and kick that off. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to make a dummy kind of change to my README file, which is going to kick off a build. So imagine I'm an awesome developer writing a really cool new feature for my app, and we're just coding it. So I'm just going to do... So I'm just going to save that. And again, in Visual Studio Code, it's going to come up here. I'll just click that. Didn't define my Git file correctly. And I made a change to README. So we can see there, it's been modified. So we'll just stage that change. Here. And you can do really cool diffs as well. So inside of Git, this is why I run the reasons to use source control repository. You can do really good diff and analysis around what's changed. And the why part of it is I'm not supposed to write a really detailed message on why I've changed that code. But I'm just going to write Ignite demo. Cool. So I'll commit that change. And again, I'm going to push it up to source control. Now, what's going to happen, which is different to the other demos, is this is going to trigger a build straight away. So I'm not going to have to go into the portal and hit build. It's just going to trigger a build straight away. So in a moment, we should see something come through here. The anticipation. Cool. So you can see it's going. But I should be getting a notification. Cool. Awesome. Here we go. This came through a few seconds later. So my build started. So as a developer, all I've done is done some awesome new code and pushed it up to source control, and Jenkins is automatically building that in Azure for me. And I'm getting notifications via an instant messaging system. Or chat application, sorry. Now let's just check on what Jenkins is doing. So as you can see, it's in progress. Look at demo three now. And I was saying before on the left-hand side, I didn't get this done the first go. I like to fail fast and fail often. And boy, did I fail. But I learned something along the way, which I think is the most important part there. So as you can see, this kind of process has got a bit of a more complex deployment pipeline. So I'm pulling it from source control, doing a local build, doing some local testing, doing some unit testing and security checking, pushing it to Azure, doing a staged deployment, and part of my staged deployment, I'm doing some end-to-end testing in my staging slot. So I'm using a third-party online Selenium cloud-based testing solution, and I've defined some Selenium tests inside of there, and it's going to test that staging slot just to do end-to-end testing. Now, I wouldn't do performance testing on your staging slot because it shares the same resources as your production, but it's really good for end-to-end testing. So we've had a look at that and see what I've defined there. Sorry for that. Let's look at configure. Again, this is all going to be in code. So what I might do is I might just copy that out, pop it in here so it's a bit bigger. Cool, that's written in Groovy. Awesome. So I've defined different stages in my code. And it's pulling from Git. I'm presenting it with a Node.js environment. Again, it's doing, piping up the version. And it's installing my production packages and my dev packages. Then this local test is where I'm doing my grunt testing. So my unit and my security checking is all done through there. And then again, this is my build phase. So again, same kind of usage patterns that I was doing before. I've created a service principle. I'm pushing up an ARM template, and I'm deploying it via Azure. And again, I'm using the open source cross-platform CLI to do all that, creating a resource group and deploying that. And then this is where this demo is a little bit different to the other ones. I've got a testing phase in here. So inside of this testing phase, again, I'm doing some end-to-end testing with an online Selenium product, and it's going to pause once that testing is completed successfully if I want to deploy that to production. So let's go and see what it's building inside of Azure. Close that one down. So we're back to my resource groups. Cool. So we've got demo three right there. You know, see that build number is quite a bit bigger than the rest of them. So have a look inside of here. So again, I've got an ARM template that's deploying an app service plan, a production application, and a staging slot. So we look at that staging slot right now. And we'll look at that URL. So again, this is going to be the same application that we saw before. Well, there's a few things I want to highlight from when we go to the next part. So slot name, staging. So that's the environment variable I'm using for a staging slot. And it's got SCM local git. So let's remember that as we go through this demo. That's done. Let's just go back to Jenkins and see how our build's going. Cool. So again, it's paused. So we have a look at what we've done in the console. So again, fairly similar as before, but here I'm using a testing suite and it's tested successfully. So I can see that if the tests weren't successful, my pipeline would have stopped and wouldn't be asking me to kind of promote it to production. So my tests have all completed successfully, just doing some basic end-to-end testing. And because that's passed, now my pipeline's saying, do you want to deploy to production? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go here, go to demo three, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to proceed. Awesome, and that's going to go promote my code from the staging slot to the production slot. But what it's doing here is it's doing what we call a VIP swap. So at the moment, my production slot has got some default HTML that comes with it. You create a default web app, and it's swapping with my staging code. We'll have a look at that when that's finished. So I'll just take just a moment to do. And the way I'm doing that as well is with code as well. So if you go and configure here, in here. So testing's been done successfully. Again, I'm using our cross-platform CLI, and I'm doing an Azure site swap. It's basically the code that does that. And we'll have a look at that just in a moment when that finishes. All right, let's pop back into Jenkins and have a look. Cool, still deploying. And you can see at the top here as well, it's the average speed time that it takes to deploy. So if you look at that complete pipeline, the reason why I was able to test so often, so frequently, is because it takes about 5 minutes for that pipeline to deploy. So I can tweak stuff, use new packages, and I know 5 minutes later it's going to do a full deployment. So it's not taking me hours or days to deploy, it's taking 5 minutes, which has given me a lot of agility to try and test out new things. And as you can see with, 75 builds, that I experimented quite a bit and failed quite often. That should be almost done now. So if we go back to the portal, so again, see how it says staging? So we've got different slots, so that's my app, and it's got a dash staging. So that's when I define my staging slot. So I just want everybody to have a look at that, and we'll come back to it in a second. But if we go to my production application, you can say exact same URL, except for it's missing the dash staging. So that's how I know it's production. So we'll copy that. And we'll do enter here. Cool. Now, same app. That's what we're expecting. But there's a couple of things that have changed. You can see the slot name's now production. It's not staging. So we can see that's our production slot. And also, SCM equals none. So why that is because I've got source control going to my staging slot, but not my production slot. And the reason I'm doing that is because I can have an automated build process to my staging slot, but I then want the pipeline to pause and for me to approve it before it goes into production. So that's why I've got it there. And that's, if you look at the staging slot as well, you've got staging, but that is deployed via local Git, whereas production is not. And just so we can show you exactly what it's doing. So when you build a default web app inside of Azure, this is the page you get. So when I did that VIP stop I was talking about, that's what my production slot was. Imagine this is an old version of your code, and I've created a new feature, and I've just done a VIP swap. So that was production, that's gone to staging, and staging's now gone to production. So that is my production URL. Right. Awesome, cool. So, as you saw on some of my demos, I kind of configured Jenkins via the GUI, and then the later two demos I've done it via as code. So my preferable way of using Jenkins is to define my pipeline as code. And one of the big reasons for that is you can store it in source control repository. And again, you can have a full history of your pipeline, what was changed, when, and why. And it also allows you to do some other cool things as well. It allows you to do more advanced scenarios, and I was talking about distributed deployments across different nodes, and it helps you scale out. It's stored, that's a typo, as a uppercase Jenkins file. If you do lowercase, it will not work. I found that out the hard way. And it's written in Groovy as well. So we've gone through a little bit of that, but basically that's just the first cut on top of my pipeline, and that's how you define it. Again, the IDE I choose to use is Visual Studio Code. Got some great support for Groovy. And that's how I kind of deploy my pipelines. So I'm just treating it as any other piece of code. It's in source control repository. They should become quite important to you, delivery pipelines, so you should be managing them correctly. Cool, branching. So who uses a branching strategy when they're writing code? Yep, cool, awesome. Big fan of branching. And we'll go through what that is and what it does and why you might want to use it. So again, I like simple explanations for things. So basically, I like to think of branching as a separate stream of development. So when we have branching, we'll have a master trunk, some people call it production or master, and then when you want to branch out, you can take a separate stream of that code, and you can have a separate stream of development, and it doesn't impact your production code. And while that's pretty cool, it works well in kind of the DevOps kind of mentality where you can branch something, not disrupt production, experiment, try things, and start building it and testing it automatically before you push it to production. And we'll have a look at that in the last demo. And there's some well-defined strategies from the kind of the community around what type of branching strategy you might use. The top one there, central branches, you don't do any branching at all. You just have a master branch, you have developers that work on that, and then everybody just starts pushing stuff in production. The second one is feature branches, which is quite popular. One caveat on that, your branches should be short-lived. The longer your branches live, the more possibility they're going to have merge conflicts when you merge your branch into production. So short-lived feature branches seem to be quite popular at the moment, for good reason. And inside of GitHub, we're talking about Jenkins, there's two different types of builds you can do that support pipeline branches. So what I'm doing is a multi-branch pipeline, and we'll go through that in just a moment. Cool, awesome. All right, so if you've been using Jenkins for a long time, they recently launched something in beta, which is called the Blue Ocean plugin. So the Blue Ocean plugin has greater support and really puts pipelines and pipelines as code at the forefront of Jenkins. And has some really good visualizations for multi-branch deployments. And we'll go through that as well, and I'll show you what that looks like. I didn't want to put a picture there, because I wanted to build up some anticipation for what it's going to look like, which is cool. Awesome. So let's go and have a look. There wasn't much anticipation building, but there you go. So if I go back into Jenkins, this one. So you can see that I can open Blue Ocean there, or literally if you just go to your Jenkins URL, you can type in blue. Again, this is still in beta, but I'll show you why I like it. Really nice refreshed UI, and it easily shows you all my projects that I have. But what I find really cool is, if you go into my last demo, demo 4, that's all my activity, but you've got a branches option here. So as you can see, I've got a master branch, all sunny and happy, and I've done a few different branches to do different features. And we'll go through that in a moment. But it's really great support for branches, really clean and easy to see. And you can see those commits and my commit IDs from GitHub, and that's the messages I have with them. Again, I'm writing very meaningful messages, but you probably should do that, which is good. And then you've got support for pull requests as well, which is pretty cool. And again, that's the activity screen. That's what I've been doing with it lately. Cool. So let's go and push some code up. So again, just like the last demo, I'm going to go into Visual Studio Code. I'm going to open up my project. Awesome. Okay, so this is my project. One of the things I wanted to show here is I'm going to create a new branch. I'm going to create a new branch for my code. I'm going to push it up to Jenkins, make sure it all goes through our delivery pipeline. I'm going to test it, and then we're going to merge it back into production. And then the master branch is then going to redeploy inside of Azure. Basically, a super high level, that's what we're doing. And the reason I'm doing that is because the pipeline I have for my branch code, I want it to be different for my production code. That's one of the reasons why I'm doing that. So this is my production code. What I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new branch, and you can do that straight inside of Visual Studio Code. And let's do that right now. Let's go git branch. So let's pretend I'm creating an awesome new feature again. Awesome, so that's done. So if you're very quick, you can see down the left-hand bottom side here that it was on master. And now it's flicked up to branch, to feature orange. So now I've got a new branch in my code. Very easy, very cool, very quick to do. Now I want to make a couple of edits. So I'm going to go to my... So I'm using Node, using EJS to do my... This is a visualization piece. So I'm just going to go into here, and I'm just going to change some stuff. So if anybody knows their hex codes, I'm going to change my background to orange. Because it's Ignite, and Ignite is orange. Cool, so I'm going to save that. And the second edit I'm going to do is I'm going to change my Jenkins pipeline. So this is my production pipeline, so I took a copy of production. I want to change that to a different deployment method. So I'm going to open this. Let's do Notepad. Cool. As you can see here, green is all the stuff I've added. So I've done some more stuff here. Oh, I didn't. That's better. It's scary to know exactly how many lines your code should be. cool. So what's really changed in this pipeline is once we do our automated testing, we've done our deployment again. It's the exact same code, but I've got another stage here, two different stages. The last stage is merge. So once I have this code's been recognized and Jenkins builds it inside of Azure, I want to merge that with master. And basically once I do that, it's going to kick off that master workflow and deploy it again for me in Azure, and we'll go through all that. And the last stage is, because my code's very polite, it's going to clean up after itself. So it's going to delete the resource group and the resources that I created. So let me save that. And let me come into Git again. Let me stage these changes. Let's go Ignite demo. Awesome new feature. Cool, I'll save that. And then let's push to... Cool, so let's go back to GitHub. So the project I'm using is number 24. Cool, you can see recently made branches. So that's that branch I just created locally. It's gone up to GitHub and it's created a new branch for me. And it tells me that straight away. And what I can then do is I can go to, so I've created, run through this demo a few times, just make sure it works. There are a few different features, but the top one there is orange. We've got our master branch. And I can flip between the two branches in GitHub to see what's going on there. Cool. Now let's go to Jenkins and see what's happening. So we go back to demo 4. Things too fast. Let's just go back here. So we can see it's detected my new branch, as we can see there. And it is Where does it start? Interesting. What's cool about the new plugin is if you ever get stuck like this, you can just go back to the old UI. So I'm back in the old UI. Demo 4. You can see feature orange. Yeah, you can see it is definitely running, just the plugin's not. It's still in beta, so it's just not quite working correctly. So if we do that. There we go, that's better. So we wanted to show this. Cool. So that's my pipeline inside the new visualization tool. You can see it's much nicer. What's really cool about it is that I'm not demoing. It's at the top here, you can see I've got source, local build, local test, and build, sorry. What's really cool is if you're doing something in Jenkins where you're doing distributed builds and you have multiple parallel tasks, they'll start going down the screen here. So it's a really nice visualization if you're doing parallel tasks. And again, it's just a bit nicer UI and you can really see what's happening here. So in my build stage, you can see what's going on. As you can see, it's got my ARM template and it's deploying that to Azure right now. When you click on source, you can see exactly what happened here. Local build, local test. Cool, awesome. So now it's built what it needs to build in Azure and it's pushing up my code via source control. So let's let that run for a little bit. We'll see what's going on in Azure. So inside of Azure, look at our resource groups. You can see that I have my master. So that's the existing. I haven't touched that. Nothing's changed there. But we can see there's a new resource group, which has got my new feature branch. So you can see here. Cool. So it's deployed into Azure. We can see here it's very similar to the last demos. One thing I've got different is Application Insights, which we'll go through in a second, which you can really start doing some application performance monitoring on your web app. And we'll have a look at that as well. So what's happening right now is it's pushing up my code from GitHub to this staging slot. Let's check on see how that's going. So let's go back and have a look. Cool, so let's just run through that cloud testing that I have to do end-to-end testing on that staging slot. So that's happening right now. That shouldn't take too much longer. And then it's going to pause and let me have a look at that stage deployment on this branch to make sure it's all looking good for me. Cool. So as you can see, it's done right now. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Azure. You can see that's a new feature, orange. I'm going to look at my staging slot. What I might do first is we'll have a look at the production slot to make sure I can prove I'm not doing any trickery. So if we just remove that staging dash, this is my production web app on my feature branch. This is going to be the default page you get when you create a web app. And if we go to my staging slot, this is that new feature I've created. Cool. So again, same web app, it's just orange instead of green. That's my new awesome feature that I want to deliver for my customers. Cool. So I've had a look at that. Looks pretty good. End-to-end testing's finished and approved. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and deploy that. So again, it's paused for me to have a look, and I'm going to say proceed. Now what's going to happen here is it's going to go and it's going to do a VIP swap again. So it's going to VIP swap that again. And once that's done, it's then going to merge this code with my master branch, and it's going to kick off another build of my master branch and build that in production. And then it's going to do another stage deployment, and we'll go through that as well. So it won't take too long. But I might just flick back to the other interface. So you can see that's still going and it's just deploying right now. That's just going to take 1 or 2 minutes. And you can see here at the top, I like this up here, it's telling me how long my deployment's taken so far. That was with the pausing for me to approve the deployment. Cool. So again, it's just doing that quick site swap. Then when that's done, it's then going to do the merge part as well. So once that does emerge, it's going to merge into master, and then it's going to kick off automatically a new build into Azure. And we should see some notifications coming up shortly. So we'll just pause for a second, wait for that to happen. It's just going to take 1 or 2 minutes. Maybe if I click on that, it goes a bit faster. Whilst we're waiting, who wants to see a new cool feature in Azure? If you click the background 3 times, it changes color. Yeah? Oh, it's used the black one for screenshots. I'm not buying time, by the way. Let's just have a quick look, see how it's going. So that's our feature, branch there. Awesome, again, cool, no problem. So it's deployed and it's swapped. Now again, it's just gonna pause and say, do you really wanna merge this with your master code? So it's gonna kick off a production build. So again, it's paused. It's giving me a nice polite message to say if I wanna merge this code with production, and I'm gonna say proceed. Cool, so what we're gonna see here is that's gonna merge with production, which is that piece here. So that was the message you just gave me, and it's gonna merge with production. So let's just have a quick look at that. Awesome, so it's merged with production, and now because it's nice and polite, it's gonna clean up after itself. Now, because it's merged with production, if we go back to our master branch, here, you're gonna see it's automatically kicked off another build. Because I've asked it to merge with production, it's gonna automatically go and kick off another build. Let's go have a quick look at that and see what's happening. So as you can see before, when I was in Azure, we already had that deployed into Azure. And because of my, I've got a well-defined pipeline, I've got confidence that it's just gonna build straight over the top and everything's gonna be okay. So as you can see, it's moving through quite fast. So it's done the local build, local test again, doing unit and security checking, and now it's building it inside of Azure. Now, because I've already deployed this to Azure first, I'm doing it by an ARM template, it's gonna be in incremental mode, and it's only gonna change the pieces it needs to. So it's not gonna tear down my whole web app and redeploy it. This is going to change what's necessary and needs to be changed. So stuff down here you can see here, it's going to fix this quite fast. So if we go back into Azure and have a quick look. Let's refresh that. This is my master, so you can see it's deploying. Which is cool. And it's going to fly through this really quickly because it doesn't have much to change. It's just going to push up new code. Cool, it's already done. That was pretty quick. Now it's just going to sync up the new code. And then once it syncs up some new code, it's going to go to the staging slot again. So it's doing a stage deployment. And then it's going to pause again and ask me, are you really sure you're going to push this to production? So I've got multiple approval gates as I'm flicking through different environments in my code. It's only been running for a minute. It's much, much quicker than the first time I ran it because it's got hardly anything to change. It's only a couple of files to change. So let's let that go through. Cool, awesome. It's coming to the testing phase again. It's doing end-to-end testing on that staging slot. Make sure everything's going well. And then once it's finished testing, it's going to pause and ask me to deploy to production. So we just go back to Azure. Refresh that. You can see that feature branch is already gone. So my code's cleaning up already for me. So it's nice and polite. And you can see it's already deployed to Azure, so the deployment has gone succeeded. Now it's just testing my code. Cool. Now it's finished testing. Everything's been approved my testing. So now it's asking me to deploy to production. So if we go to my master, or my production code, let's wait for that to launch. So this is my current production. And if you look at that, it's still gonna be green. The reason for that is that the new feature branch was orange. We've deployed that, tested it, we're confident that works. And then we deployed that to our staging slot inside of Azure. So nothing's changed yet. And the pipeline has paused. So we'll have a quick look at that as well. So if we just go here, we'll go new tab. We'll just go dash staging. This is going to be our orange version. Cool, so not in production yet, it's in staging, and then I'm not going to approve that to go through. So I'm going to proceed. That thing, I'm going to switch those slots again, and that's going to be promoted into production. I'm not going to hang around for 2 minutes to make that work, but we'll press on, we'll come back, and we'll make sure that's worked. But again, that's just doing one of those VIP swaps I was talking about before, and it's going to just switch that orange with the green code. It's basically what it's going to do. We'll come back in a second to that. Cool. The reason I come back is that's basically the end of my talk. So I've got some useful links there. That top one's my GitHub, so all the code again that I've used today is in my GitHub, except for the one where I've hard-coded keys. I'll pop that up a bit later when I fix that. Again, the middle link is that Channel 9 series around DevOps fundamentals with those DevOps practices I was talking about, and a link to my Jenkins pipeline stuff there, which is cool. Again, continue your Ignite learning path there, and then make sure you fill in your evaluation forms. Thanks, guys. I've deliberately left a fair amount of time for questions, so please, anyone got a question, please put your hand up. Yes, gentlemen, right at the back.
So the pulling of the pipeline, they can just remain there for you to respond and push to the next stage for indefinitely?
Yep.
It's not doing anything, it's just kind of support.
Yeah, I'll repeat the question for the recording. So the question was, when I'm pausing my pipeline for deployments, how long is it going to stay there for? Yep, so you can actually define that in your code. So inside of my code, it's going to wait 30 minutes. So if it doesn't hear anything back in 30 minutes, it'll abort the pipeline. Yeah, and you can have that as days or weeks or months if you really wanted to, but minutes or seconds is probably best. Cool. The gentleman in front. That's no problem. So I'll just repeat it for the recording. So the question was, the gentleman's already using Visual Studio Team Services inside of Azure, and he's learning more about Jenkins and which one to use and when, I suppose is the question, yeah?
Yeah,
yeah, cool, no problems. So Visual Studio Team Services is a great product. My recommendation is if you are using it currently, continue to use it. It's a great product and it will work fantastically inside of Azure. The kind of angle I'm coming from is if you're using Jenkins already and you're not using Azure, you can continue to use Jenkins to deploy to Azure. That's where I'm coming from. And we also have scenarios where you can mix and match. So you can have VSTS, Visual Studio Team Services, be kicked off by a Jenkins job. So you can mix and match as well. Does that answer your question? Cool. Awesome. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Right at the back.
Do you know if there's a plan to mix AWS code build, which is dropping from the support? Like you talked about spreading out load, slave.
Yep. Yep, so I'll just repeat the question. So the question's around AWS code deploy, and is there a plan for Azure to kind of...
Code build, okay.
So my answer would be, we've already got a fantastic product with Visual Studio Team Services, which kind of does that for you. So if you've got multiple builds running through that, multiple projects, it's going to scale for you. Cool. Yes, sir?
Are you going to deploy it by code? Where do you store your credentials for that?
Yep, I'll show you, actually. It's inside of Jenkins. So... as before, I'll go into here, and so all my ARM templates that I use, which you guys can have a look at, is all in here. So basically, I've got stuff around, and mostly web apps, because I do a lot of web apps. I've got some traffic manager stuff, and it's all stored in here. So that's how you deploy it. And what I do is I pass in, as I'm deploying my code, I'm using the cross-platform CLI, and I'm passing in credentials. I'm doing that via Jenkins. So I'll show that as well. So inside of Jenkins, see this password binding? I'm passing in credentials. And because it's code, you're not seeing my credentials. You're just seeing the variables that go to my credentials. And inside of Jenkins, it's a credentials section. Oh, it's my storage account, but I've just got this one as a better example. So credentials, Azure Resource Manager. Basically, my credentials are stored in here. Oop, I won't show them to you, but because that would be very bad. But yeah, that's it. So you can see the passwords hashed out. But there, that's where it's stored. Cool. Any other questions? No? Who's going to go away and build some cool stuff with Jenkins and Azure? Yeah, cool. Awesome. All right, well, there's no more questions, guys. Thanks for that. I'll wrap it up there. Cheers.